Well, this morning we are continuing on in respect, and we're going to do something that I don't normally do. I don't think that from the pulpit we should generally talk about politics, but we're going to talk a little bit about politics this morning. We're not going to talk about any one politician, but for us, this morning's topic and this morning's text really has to do with politics, and it doesn't matter what is going on in our lives, where we live, doesn't matter what kind of community we're involved in. Our faith should be a part of every aspect of our lives, and that includes politics. So as much as I think that politics should remain out of the pulpit, that doesn't mean that our faith should be devoid of that part of our lives. Our faith should shape everything. And so this morning we're going to talk about what it looks like for our faith to shape that area of our lives, that area of politics. Now, we could talk about all of the bad things that politicians do, that people do in leadership roles, whether they are an elected official or whether they're someone who's appointed. And we should think about those things because we need to be aware. Just like I said this a few weeks ago, just like in each other's lives, whether it's our parents or whether it's our children or a friend or a neighbor, we don't show respect to other people based on how they act, based on what they do. That's true for those who are politicians, those who are in authority in our lives. There are a lot of people who... they may be really great people and they you know, really nice people, but they choose to do something that we disagree with. And so for us as Americans, we're used to this, we're used to the culture of being able to have a say, and that often translates to our attitudes then. And so if someone does something we disagree with, then we think we can be disrespectful to them. And we've already talked about that. That's not the case. We are to show respect to others, not based on what they do or don't do, good or bad. We're to show respect to others based on who they are. And of course, our definition for respect is letting others know they are important by what we say and do. If you have a Bible with you, I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, the go-to text for this kind of conversation is often Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. That's the go-to text. In fact, you've probably read it and thought about it. And I want to point it out because I want us to be aware of that text. I want you to read it on your own. We won't have time to go through it like we were going through this passage in 1 Peter. But it deals with the same topic. Paul in Romans says some things that Peter doesn't say. And he highlights some stuff that Peter doesn't say. And it's actually a very important passage for this conversation. But other passages often get kind of left by the wayside. And so I want to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Peter writes, "Submit yourselves." This is out of the New International Version. And this is one of those passages that is actually... if you read it in different translations, there's gonna be some words, some key words that are translated differently, and we'll go over that in just a second. "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king." And in this passage, there's some concepts here that are kind of... the translators kind of had difficulty translating, trying to figure out what to emphasize, because we know in language, connotation matters and emphasis matters, and words have meaning. And so we have some ideas. We have the idea of submission. That means doing what you are supposed to be doing. So if a ruler or authority says to do this, then you do that thing. We have the concept of honoring, which is very close to and similar to respecting, maybe a little bit more public in nature. And then we have the idea of respecting. And depending on the translation that you're looking at, you're going to see these concepts kind of interchangeable because they all relate to each other and they are connected to each other. And so this idea of being subject to, that's kind of very strong. And then there's the idea of respecting, and that's maybe not as strong as being subject to, and yet what's our definition for respect? Letting others know they are important by what we say and do. And so by its very nature, what we say and do will have connect to being subject to. In other words, if a police officer tells you to do something, then you do it. Or if the IRS contacts you and tells you to do something, then you do it. Not that you want to, probably, but you do it. You act on that. So I opened with this idea of the negatives, all the bad things that politicians do, because it's so easy to pick on them, right? It's easy for us to kind of get caught up in that. And as we read through this passage of submitting ourselves for the Lord's sake, this passage in 1 Peter, the very first thing he says, and then he concludes us with too, and this is foundational for Paul as well in Romans 13, is our motivation for doing this. It's not because of what people have done. In fact, in Peter, when Peter was writing this, I mean, we think that some of our politicians are bad. When they were writing this, the emperor, it was supposed to have been a republic, but that was just a sham. You know, the republic that they were living under, it wasn't, there was no say among the people. That ruler had authority. In fact, it grew so much that the emperor believed himself to, you know, that many of them believed themselves to be God or gods. But Peter and Paul, they say to live our lives, they say to act in such a way and to choose to live towards, to show others respect, to act in a way and speak in a way that shows them how important they are because of who God is, because of the Lord's sake, Peter says. Our faith in Christ, the cross, shapes what we think about other people. It shapes how we act towards other people. Let me read verse 17 for you from 1 Peter chapter 2. Show proper respect to everyone. Show proper respect to everyone. Everyone. Every single person. Whether you like them or not. People that you consider your enemies. Yeah, them too. Show proper respect. Everyone. Sometimes we think that those who are in authority in our country are lesser people, that we can, because they're in the public eye, we can talk bad about them, we can insult them, we can yell at them, we can throw shoes at them. Well, that's more of a different culture, but, you know, we can... you know, we can do whatever we want to others. We don't have to worry about them because they're different. But in our eyes, as Christians, they are no different from anybody else, whether a friend or an enemy, because everybody is to be treated the same way. We are to show others how important they are by what we say and do, no matter who they are. And so that is foundational. And we do that because of Christ, because of what he has done for us. When we celebrate communion, it's to focus us on what Christ has done on the cross. When we take up offering, that's why I really appreciated that last line that Jim shared, because, you know, oftentimes we only have a short amount of time to do these offering devotionals, and there's different resources and different thoughts and illustrations, and we try and cover different aspects, but you know what? It all goes back to Christ. That's the foundation for what we're doing here. It's the foundation for how we live our lives Sunday through Saturday. That shapes what we think and how we think about other people. And because Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, that means he died on the cross for those people who are our enemies. That means he died on the cross for those people who are scumbags. And that's hard. I mean, whoever you think of as a scumbag, that's hard to think of that. That's hard to show respect to those people because we think of them as scumbags and we don't think of them as people that Jesus Christ died for. But Jesus Christ died for scumbags, and he died for politicians and lawyers, the butts of all of our jokes. He died for all of them. He died for all of us. We can see this teaching of respect connected to so many other themes. Was that me? I don't have the windscreen on. I apologize. So many other themes throughout Scripture. I'll try not to yell. or spit. Love. You're all far enough away that I can't reach you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Yes. Yes, love your neighbor as yourself. Other passages, by the way, love to love each other the way God has loved us. But love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus' teaching I brought up, I don't remember if it was last week or 2 weeks ago, so don't feel bad if you don't remember what I've said on a Sunday morning, because I don't remember what I've said when. Jesus was teaching, he's teaching the Pharisees, about the Pharisees, and he tells the Jewish people to obey the Pharisees, even though they don't live the way they should. Just because they don't live the way they should doesn't mean give you the right to disobey them. It's because they are in the seat of Moses. You know what that means to be in the seat of Moses? They're leaders. They're in positions of authority. So even if they're not doing and living and saying all the right things, you're still to obey them because they are in that position of authority. And Paul and Peter both say it's not just because someone is in a position of authority, but that authority comes from, there I go, sounds like I'm spitting again. That authority comes from God. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will. Now, some translations connect that with what the verses that I just read. It's God's will that you do that. The NIV says, for it's God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Either way, the way we act towards others, especially towards those who are in authority, is God's will. It's his will that we show others respect. It's his will that we show others how important that they are important by what we say and do. And this is not easy. It's not. I'm going to do something that's dangerous. No, I won't do this. I won't have you raise your hands. Because I don't want anybody to feel left out. Dominic's raising his hand just so he can raise his hand. Okay. You can ask me after the service. Sometimes, when we are, Republican-affiliated with the Republican Party, we can look down on those who are of the Democratic Party, or connected, affiliated, or vote regarding the Democratic Party. Sometimes if we're in the Democratic Party, we look down on those who are in the Republican Party. If you're a libertarian, you look down on everybody else. And we say bad things about people who are of those parties and in in politics. And in fact, sometimes we say such bad things that we wouldn't even want to say them from the pulpit, some of those things. Now, I will admit to watching Jon Stewart, The Daily Show. Some of you may be familiar with that. Some of you may not be. It's not the cleanest show. That's right. It's not the cleanest show. But Jon Stewart has, he brings up authors. He interviews authors and other people, and he has commentary on what's going on in politics. And one of the things I like about him and some of these other comedic news shows is that they make fun of both Republicans and Democrats alike. That's good. That's nice. But for us as Christians, even though that may be funny, oftentimes we show disrespect towards others. And we do this in our conversations with others, because most of us aren't going to Washington. We're not going to be sitting and having dinner with the president. We're not going to be even invited to do that. Most of us wouldn't, you know, our political influence may be nothing more than just local, or possibly state level. But we have conversations with other people. We have conversations with neighbors, and we have conversations with family. And maybe you try to avoid these conversations. I do generally, talking about politics with family, especially. But other people will talk about politics because these decisions are being made that impact our lives, right? Especially that impact our wallets and impact our children. Decisions that impact every aspect of our lives are being made, and so we care about those things, hopefully, and we talk about those things. And in the process of talking about those things, one thing I've noticed about politics is when we talk about those things, because we care about what's going on in our lives, when we talk about them, oftentimes, if it's something we disagree with, we tend to get upset easily. Does anybody have anything that when they talk about that subject, they immediately get upset? All right. And maybe it's not politics, maybe it's something else. We're talking with some people earlier, a couple days ago, about the phone company. I hate talking to the phone company. Immediately, that will... Not my cell phone, not my cell phone carrier, but like the local front, I shouldn't say the name, the local phone company. I can't stand talking to the phone company. Can't stand it. We have these things that immediately get us kind of riled up, and in our world, we have people in our lives, all of us know people that if you get them going, you bring up the right or wrong subject, depending on how you look at it, you bring it up, and you know that for the next half an hour, you don't even have to say anything. You can just stand there and nod your head. And they will just get going on that. And in that process, because we get riled up, because we care, and we begin talking about, and sometimes we get worked up about something, we end up saying things about other people. Pay attention. We end up saying things about other people that are unkind, that are mean-spirited, hurtful, if we were to be in their presence. And why does that matter? Peter says, it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. How we live our lives, how we treat other people, is seen by others. I know a Christian man who's a really nice guy. I enjoy having conversations with him. But for a while, he would get really worked up about Obama. He would get really worked up about the political situation. He would get really worked up about all of how that impacted his family. And he would get so worked up that he would get angry. And he got to the point where talking about it made him almost flustered. It made him made him shake. And that actually, it disappointed me. It disappointed me. Because I know this man, and I know he's a good guy, and it doesn't disappoint me because he cares. It disappointed me because what it showed to me was that his priority, his trust, wasn't in God. Think about that. If someone who does not believe in Jesus Christ sees how you live, and they see that you don't even trust in the person that you claim can save them, why would they trust in that person? Or if you're talking bad about someone, if they see you talking bad about someone, and this happens all the time, when we see this kind of thing, we see someone acting in a way contrary to what they teach, what do we call people like that? Hypocrites. That's right. And we all say it, and we look at someone and say they're being hypocritical, or we might call them a hypocrite. But that's how many people in our culture see Christians. They see Christians as hypocrites because they don't see them acting in a way consistent with what they say, with what they say they believe. So if we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you know, we say this, we have people come up and we have them repeat the good confession before they're baptized, or maybe if they're going to become a part of our family of believers, we have them repeat that, and sometimes we say that together, or we might all say it together just to reaffirm that. And we say Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. We say that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and we like that Savior part, but then we kind of ignore that Lord part, because when we're saying that Jesus Christ is Lord, that means that our actions, our lives, every part of who we are should then fall under His rule, under His authority. And so when other people hear us say those things and then see us living contrary to that, naturally, they're going to not put any stock in what we have to say. It's just natural. You don't do it. You don't put stock in what someone has to say if they aren't living that out. If they aren't being an example, if they aren't following through with that, you don't. You call them a hypocrite too, right? How many have you ever called someone else a hypocrite? I have. Or at least said that they were being hypocritical. Of course, as soon as I do that, I think, well, me too. I'm a hypocrite as well. Charlie, your batteries are dying. He couldn't hear me. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. So to the president, to senators and to judges, and even to IRS agents, to police officers. This is a difficult teaching for some. For others, it's not. I grew up in a household that I was taught to do those things, to respect those people, regardless of how they acted, because of their position. And yet, many people, even in the church, show such disdain for those who are in those positions, for police officers, because of how some police officers have acted in their lives or in the lives of their friends. Toward judges or toward politicians or toward the president. These things do matter, not just for our wallets. These things do matter for not just our households and our children. These things matter for how we witness to others. These things matter to God because he wants us to have lives that are fully devoted to him. Let me say it a different way. He wants us to fully trust in him. And when we ignore what he tells us about, when we ignore his instructions in some areas of our lives, we're saying, God, I trust you so that I can go to heaven, but I don't trust you with this part of my life. That's true with anything, whether it's our offering and our money. Lord, I trust you to take care of my soul, but I don't really trust you to provide my daily food. I'll just provide for that, and then you get what's left over. Lord, I trust you to spend, that eternity thing, that's great. You've got that covered. But I don't trust you with this difficult relationship I have. This is, respecting anyone is an issue of trusting God. It has to be. It has to be. Because for Christians, respecting others is not because of what they've done, but because who they are in God's eyes. And we know that other people are going to do stupid things and say bad things and do evil things, and it's going to be really, really hard. It's going to be really hard to show respect. It's going to be really hard to show them how important they are by what we say and do. Let me give you some extreme examples of this. And you can see this going on in the world today if you've been paying attention to the news at all. There are issues of slavery. How many girls were kidnapped? 200? There are issues of Christian persecution. Most recently, a pregnant mother who's sentenced to death. There are issues of child abuse. And by the way, I consider people that do these things, I mean, in my mind, it's despicable. Despicable. When we look at people who do despicable things, who do terrible things, who do selfish things, who make choices and decisions that they know will hurt other people. That's hard to look at them and to do, act, and to speak in ways that shows them they are important. And you can't do it. You can't do it honestly. You can't do it for very long. You can't do it unless the cross comes first. Unless the cross comes first in your thinking. Unless the cross comes first in your heart and in your attitude. And when the cross comes first, then we're able to respect others. And then we're able to respect police officers and judges and politicians and IRS agents and all of those people who are in authority in our lives. And we do it because we love God. And we love other people. Let's pray. Father, there may be a particular person in our lives that we don't respect. We don't have in our hearts any sort of respect for them. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see their value to you. I pray that you would help us to look at them through the lens of the cross. Lord, there are conversations and times in our lives where we just get caught up and we're tempted to talk negatively or say bad things or criticize or grumble and complain along with everybody else. Lord, I pray that in those moments you would show us your grace, that you would show us your cross. Lord, I pray that through the way we live our lives, through showing others that they are important by what we say and do, that our witness would grow stronger, that you would be glorified, that the transforming work that you do in our lives and that you want to do in the lives of those who have not been reconciled to you would be made known. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see other people the way you do, the way you see us. And Lord, I pray that as we look around us, as we go about our weeks and our months and our years, I pray that you would help us to be the kind of people that you have called us to be, that you would work to transform us to reflect you. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.